The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Lord be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was during the summer of 1925, some of you may remember. Well, you could have read about it later. But anyhow, it was this poor and uneducated girl who fled her parents and begged to join a convent in Poland. And 3 years later, her dream became a reality. And soon after, between the years of 1931 and 38, the risen Christ made a number of appearances to Sister Mary Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament. And the various messages that Christ gave to Faustina during that time would eventually be published in a book entitled Diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul. And one of the conversations that she recounts in her book is a direct request from Christ that the feast day of Divine Mercy be established on the first Sunday after Easter so that all people would take refuge in Christ's mercy. And so the first Divine Mercy Sunday was celebrated back in 1935, but it would not be until the year 2000 when Pope John Paul canonized her as Saint Faustina and gave this Sunday as that designation. And interestingly enough, 5 years after that is when John Paul died at the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. It was surmised that this Sunday was chosen to celebrate Christ's universal mercy because the readings lend themselves, they deal with the mercy of Christ. Today's gospel from John is the famous passage of Thomas's doubt in the risen Lord, for he had not been present when Christ first appeared to his fellow disciples the week before. Well, frankly, I think Thomas gets a bum rap. Really, he does. Think about it. Because none of his fellow disciples believed Christ rose from the dead either until they saw him. So give the guy a break. But it was The Sunday after Christ rose from the dead that we find these disciples, they're still hiding behind closed doors. And once again, Jesus appears, but this time Thomas is with them. Thomas, who, like his fellow disciples, needed to see in order to believe in the risen Lord. And as we know, as soon as Thomas sees, just like the disciples saw, just as Mary Magdalene saw, they believed that Jesus was the Christ. But it seems clear that it wasn't enough just to believe. It's never enough to believe. It wasn't good enough for the followers to be held up, you know, in this upper room day and night and telling each other they believe. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. Yeah, hey, isn't it great? We believe. No, Jesus was looking for them to do more. And thus, he was calling them to be sent forth, just as he was sent forth from the Father. So they needed to get out from behind the locked doors of their lives and continue to do what Jesus did, which was to teach, to heal, and to forgive. But now things were a bit different when they went to the temple to teach, as Jesus did. And this difference is tied to a particular line that we all hear each year in the Passion story. And it has great significant meaning. This one line, and perhaps you never thought about it, but now you will. Maybe you never thought about the meaning of this. But you remember what happened the moment Jesus died? Think about it. What happened to the sanctuary veil of the temple? It was torn in half, right? From top to bottom. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this was not your everyday living room curtain. The temple veil was 4 inches thick. It was 70 feet tall, and it weighed 4 tons, and it required 300 priests to carry it in its place. That's how big it was. And the purpose of the curtain was to do what? Was to separate and define the holy from the unholy. That's what it did. The Latin word for temple is farnum, and everything outside the temple veil was called profanum. Thus, the derivative of our word, profane. There was no longer any separation between the holy and the unholy. There was no more profane. Rather, everything now was farnum. Everything now was holy. Everything was holy, was the temple. Everything is sacred. There's nothing that is not sacred. God is not hidden behind a veil, but is everywhere and in everyone. Everything now is farnum. Christ's crucifixion and death on a cross ended the division between what we deemed as holy and unholy, and who was in and who was out. For it was the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ that the disciples and each one of us are sent forth to call all people to this merciful and loving God. And you only have to focus on the core of today's gospel to know what we are all called to do, and that we're all called to do it. You see, when Christ appeared to Thomas and all the disciples that were gathered at the upper room, he did not ask for retribution toward his persecutors. He didn't call for a just war on his oppressors. He didn't ask them to start a new religion. He didn't ask them to write a book of canon law. He didn't ask them to go out and build cathedrals and basilicas. And he certainly didn't ask them to go out and decide who's worthy and who is not, who is in and who should be excommunicated. The risen Christ sent his disciples forth from that upper room with the gift and graces of the Holy Spirit. And he asked them to do one thing, just one thing. And what was it? You just heard it. What did he ask them to do? He said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, right? Whose sins you retain are retained. He asked them to go forth and forgive others just as he always did. That was their mission. This direction and empowerment was given to all the disciples. It wasn't given to a few. It wasn't given to just the apostles. It's not supposed to be given to bishops and priests only. The risen Christ reminds us that we are all called to forgive, and we ought to forgive all. We're all called to forgive our spouses, our children, our parents, our co-workers, our priests, our deacons, our church, our institutions, our government, and even those who violate us, as difficult as that may be. But you know, probably the most important and the most difficult person to forgive is ourselves. I find that to be so true when people come into confession. Very few of us want to go there to forgive ourselves, but that's what Jesus emphasized and he taught, because our ego gets in the way. No matter what we have done, God loves us and forgives us with unconditional love and with unending mercy. This is what he told his disciples, and this is the message that he repeated to St. Mary Faustina. I can almost picture Christ just shaking his head after 2,000 years and saying, they missed the point. They missed it. Let me try it again. And so he told Sister Faustina, he said to her, quote, every soul who believes and trusts in my mercy will have it. Christ tells us through today's gospel that those trespasses and debts which we are willing to let go of, the ones which we forgive in ourselves and that we forgive in others, they are forgiven. They are released from being part of us. While those that we hold on to, that we bind within ourselves, will erode within us, within our well-being, and we will be unable to love God and love our neighbor if we do not forgive. This whole concept of seeing and believing, which we heard in John's gospel, it's based on the fact that in order for forgiveness to take place, we have to be able to see God in the other. And we have to see God in ourselves. And also, we need to be open to forgive. That's what the disciples were called to do. And that's what you and I are called to do. So during this Easter season, may we open our eyes to see God in others and within ourselves, so that through this newly gained insight and these new eyes, we too may believe and have life in his name.